Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Myrna Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Myrna Young. And sitting in the guest chair today is Melissa Moore. Melissa is a PhD and author of The Diamonds Within Us. And today we are going to be talking on the topic, how to integrate the teachings of Buddhism into our daily lives. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Listen, you know, you guys probably hear me say this all the time, but I'm going to enjoy my conversation. Because, you know, I pick guests where topics interest me, and I know they'll interest you. And Buddhism has always interested me. I love Buddhism, the philosophy about suffering. In fact, I was just telling somebody, my husband, just a couple days ago, that it was all in his mind. You know what I mean? Because they say that suffering. They're saying it's suffering, you know, and Buddhism teaches that suffering is all in your head, you know. So anyway, so you like that one, right?
It's sometimes people don't want to hear that, right? So but from a Buddhist perspective, yes, it's all
yes, exactly right. So all right, so we're gonna really have a deep dive into Buddhism and how we can integrate it in our daily lives. And I'm pretty sure we're gonna talk about the suffering aspect of it because that is foundational. But all right, so let me give you a short bio on Melissa. Melissa has dedicated her adult life to teaching the tenets of Buddhism and contemplative psychology, helping students better manage their emotions, explore the notion of intrinsic health, and understand their interconnected, non-dual nature. Melissa's latest book, The Diamonds Within Us, brings modern context to ancient Tibetan Buddhist teachings. The lessons within this book aim to help readers discover how to better integrate their human experience to live more empowered lives. Melissa reveals how to befriend yourself as you are, and access the wisdom of emotions. She teaches how to embody deep listening skills, using resources when working with others, addressing long-standing fears and challenges in relationships, explore and sync with invisible forces of life, and much, much more. So, all right. So I'm ready to dive right in, Melissa. And normally, you know, I start off my interviews by just having you tell a little bit of your backstory of what got you to this point in your career and in your life and as an author, just so that the listeners can kind of connect with you. So what was your journey to becoming a teacher of the tenets of Buddhism and contemplative psychology?
Well, first of all, nothing was planned. It wasn't like I had a set intention. It was much more that I stumbled into Boulder, Colorado when I was about 24, literally with a rock and roll band. And I wasn't in it. I was working for the promoter, but I looked for a dance class and found Naropa Institute. And it was a kind of a hippie school back then, sort of, you know, the first Buddhist school. And I worked at the school and, went through the whole accreditation process, and it became Naropa University while I was a student there and also worked there consequently afterwards. So one thing led to another. The main moral of the story is that I figured out through meditation that my mind was following me wherever I went, and that I had to take responsibility for it, that nothing was going to fix me, and that, you know, all the other ways that I had tried to anesthetize myself or act out this or that. All those things were futile. And finally, it took me quite a while for that message to penetrate. Wherever you go, your mind follows you. And then I started to take responsibility. And I'm very fortunate. I went to Naropa early on in my career and became a therapist. And then I worked with women suffering with eating disorders. And I had very little differentiation between myself and my clients, because I myself had suffered with an eating disorder. And probably a lot of my recovery was going on through being a therapist, frankly, which is so true for so many therapists, I have to say. And I didn't like the paradigm of therapy. When I was doing my doctoral work, I had a crisis of faith in the paradigm for mainly around women and the misogyny of diagnoses. And I was working with, at that point, very chronically suffering women with mental illness who were put in a women's institute, not by their own choosing. And I just had a crisis of faith about the whole approach, because Western psychology is very young science, you know, and it can be very brutal and stigmatizing, as you know, and people can do harm with it as much as they can do good with it. And I know a lot of people are helped by therapy, but it wasn't my bag. And then in 1994, I guess it was, I was asked by my Buddhist teacher at the time to travel with my then husband in Europe to teach. And I started teaching contemplative psychology because there was a lot of demand. People in Europe who were part of this tradition that had been founded by Chögyam Trungpa wanted to know about contemplative psychology. So I started teaching weekends and they just exploded. You know, one thing led to another, and five German psychologists got together and they sort of worked circles around me, putting Karuna training together. I was sort of like the horse they put out on the track. But we offered Karuna eventually in nine countries. Karuna is a 2-year certificate in contemplative psychology. And then at a certain point after traveling, you know, nobody was getting rich on this, right? Particularly me. I was sort of swinging vine to vine to survive financially as a Dharma teacher, right? It's just one, it's not even a notch above a Dharma bum, except that you get a little stipend here and there from generosity from people. And at a certain point, I realized I have a PhD, I have to get a job. So I came back to the States and I was the director of a research and training institute back in mental health, looking again in community mental health. That was even more heartbreaking because the system is so broken for people who suffer with chronic mental illness. People can get help, but most of the time it doesn't get to people. So that was very heartbreaking. And in 2014, I started Karuna in North America with actually, again, people prompting me to go forward. Most of the things I've done in my life, I've done a lot of things in my life and people say, oh, you're ambitious, but it's not really that. It's that I'm in the right place at the right time and I have a lot of energy and I will step up to offer opportunities. But I really didn't envision this. And the way I got the book done was, sadly, it took a global pandemic for me to get off the road. And I had written this book, or at least put the outline together, and I've been teaching it for 30 years. So it actually, I birthed it in 9 months because, you know, it was gestating for a very long time. So, you know, here I am, and now I'm trying to respond and offer Karuna in this kind of new digital age in hybrid, and learning a lot how to do that, because it's the work that I teach is so nuanced and awareness. And we're really looking at our habits of mind in relationship to others in the training. So it's kind of putting yourself in a big incubator to wake up to your mental habits.
So, wow.
Yeah. It takes a little time.
Gift in his heart. Bombas makes it easy with socks, underwear, and t-shirts that feel good and do good. They feel good because they're thoughtfully designed with the softest materials, and they do good because every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone in need. Bombas is the perfect gift for those on your list that has everything, because everyone could use beautiful socks or underwear that fit perfectly and are soft and comfortable. Bombas holiday collection puts a modern twist on traditional festive colors and designs. Think rich purples and greens, geometric snowflake designs, sweater-inspired textures, and retro ski patterns. And did you know that socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items in homeless shelters? That's why Bombas donates one item for every item you buy. So far, Bombas has donated over 75 million items of clothing. That's a whole lot of comfort and a whole lot of good. Give the good this holiday season with Bombas. Go to bombas.com/transform and use code TRANSFORM for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/transform, code TRANSFORM for 20% off your first purchase. Are you wasting money in subscriptions? 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. That's why I use Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Rocket Money helps me track all of my expenses, and because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't even know you were paying for. You may even find out that you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you need to do is press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/transform. Seriously, you could save hundreds per year. That website again is rocketmoney.com/transform. Cancel all your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/transform. This podcast episode is brought to you by energyforjoy.com. Energy for Joy features a visual meditation video called Release in Align. There are so many benefits to meditation. One of the benefits of meditation is quieting the mind so that the body can relax, but many have a difficult time quieting their minds. This is why a visual meditation might be the answer. Relax and Align is an 8-minute visual meditation practiced with your eyes open. The meditation combines layered graphs and precisely positioned color patterns, leading edge color techniques, and is designed to help you experience the benefits of meditation within minutes. First, images of red, orange, and yellow help you release resistance. Next, mellow colors of soft yellow, green, and blue will help bring you to equilibrium in order to stop any negative momentum and help you feel a calm balance. Finally, alignment takes place. This is accomplished through sky blue, indigo, and magenta. These luxurious colors send a message to your system that your normal state of being is calm, happy, and abundant. Experience the benefits of meditation and alignment with visual meditation. Find out more at energyforjoy.com. That is E-N-E-R-G-Y foryjoy.com.
Wow, that is awesome. I have a couple of circle backs before you go too much further. I love the mind. I talk about it all the time, almost every guest, because this is basically what the show is, transform your mind. But I've never heard that phrase, your mind follows you wherever you go. What do you mean by that? Let's dissect that.
The mind is the body, right? The mind is inseparable from the body, from our work. We can sense and experience our experience and store experience in our bodies. That's part of our mind. But also our mind, you know, our thinking mind, whether we're thinking about the future or thinking about the past, wherever we are in the present moment, there's our mind. There it is, doing what it's doing. And so wherever we go, there you are. And so you can't really ever get away from yourself, right? Okay. And so how do we befriend it as it is? Because we're always trying to change ourselves, which is another form of aggression, really, when we're trying not to be who we are, but something other than we are. And okay, this work has to do with every one of us is actually pretty perfect as they are. Even when we have disabilities and problems, there's a jewel inside all of us, but we need the right conditions for that to shine. And and so that's
okay. So I like that. So before I ask the follow-up to that, I also want to circle back on what exactly is contemplative psychology. Give us the definition.
Contemplative psychology is Buddhist psychology in an engaged form. So Buddha, whenever you study Buddhism, you're studying Buddhist psychology, because Buddhism came west on the language of psychology, right? And so understanding how the mind works is part of the Buddhist path. And what makes it so appealing is that can be done very intellectually. And in Karuna and in contemplative psychology, we make it very experiential. That's the Western part. So we not only talk about the teachings of the five skandhas, which is how the mind creates a self, but we look at those aspects of mind, how we engage them in our daily life. So we study sort of under the hood how the mind operates, but we bring it very personally down into what that means on a day-to-day basis. So we do a lot of experiential exercises and processes and methods that teach us about the non-duality, that you and I are not separate, actually.
Right.
All
right. So I like that. So my mind is working here as you're talking. So if you're saying that the mind follows us and the mind is the body, so I'm assuming that your work is teaching people how to not have the mind follow them, right? So
that's a good way to
put it. Right.
It's not that you don't want your mind. Your mind is with you in your body. It's a question of what your mind is doing.
Okay, right? Well, that's what I meant. I mean, there must be a way to... I mean, let's take, for instance, right? You talk about women, or I think you said women, but let's say anyone that has a mental issue and or maybe they have trauma from their past and they're stuck in the past because their mind is following them in the present moment. Their mind is following them in the present moment, their body has all kinds of disease and all kinds of things. So when you go through the program, you're telling them how to release it, or... what are you doing?
No, it's much more how to utilize and work with your mind. So that there's a certain amount of mind training that happens, which has to do with learning how to synchronize your body, your breath, or your speech, because speech is not only what, you know, from a Buddhist perspective, we say synchronize your body, speech, and mind together in the present moment. And most of the time we're not doing that, right? We're doing one thing, we're driving in the body. The mind is thinking about what we have to do or what we didn't do.
Right.
And we might be feeling bad because our kid got a bad grade or something. You know, we're constantly multitasking.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're splintered. Mm-hmm. But when we learn to synchronize our body, speech, and mind in the present moment, even just sometimes, you know, I have to say it took me a very long time to learn how to do that because I did have a lot of trauma in my body. And, you know, it's only even recently that I've been able to access some of that with some of the new therapies and things. So this isn't an answer all to addressing trauma, because we're learning so much about trauma and how it abides in the body. But learning how to bring your mind to the present moment and experience what you're experiencing in the present moment is profoundly powerful. So usually we use our body to anchor ourselves in feeling. Sometimes we're thinking so wildly, we can't do anything except, let's see, feel your body right now, how it feels, how it's sitting in the room you're sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
So you start
I'm
to
feeling
feel.
It. I don't think I feel any emotion, but I'm feeling my body, right? Go ahead.
And then bring your breath to the present moment. Just bring your breath into the present moment and then kind of scan your body, because maybe you're feeling curious about what I'm saying. And that's located somewhere in your body. Your mind is located somewhere in your body. You can use your body as an anchor to the present moment and bring yourself present. And then we teach how to work with those emotions, because all emotions from our perspective have wisdom. But a lot of times we're managing them. We go, I don't want to feel that. So how are you doing? I'm fine. You know, we have real conditioned ways of working. Or another alternative is we can act out our emotions. Sometimes that's fun. I like to act out my emotions when I'm driving. Sometimes if I'm angry, you know, those kinds of things, we have habits around that, right? But really, to meet the emotion, we have to feel it in the body and experience it fully and listen. And that's where the contemplative part is. You befriend it. You actually befriend it as your teacher and take it as and sometimes that takes some time, because emotions can be very difficult and painful. So there's a certain amount of training ourselves to abide in discomfort without acting out and without suppressing things. So that takes time. That's why our training is so long. It's a year and a half to get started, because you don't just flip a switch. Unfortunately, we have so much more mental conditioning of distraction and desynchronization and all the other stuff that we've accumulated. And if you're a Buddhist and you believe in rebirth, it goes lifetime to lifetime. Or if you're studying what I'm studying these days about intergenerational trauma, then we're carrying so much from our families and all of that. So there's a lot of work to do in this present moment.
This song is Happy Again by Eric Enkelhart. Download on Spotify. If you're a person who enjoys wearing nice apparel with a positive message like rest in peace, negative thinking, then FlyPup is the brand for you. FlyPup's statement is start the day with self-belief. FlyPup is an acronym that means fearless, loving, intelligent, peaceful, empowering phenom. Our apparel is unisex. We offer sizes extra small to 5XL in tees and hoodies. Get yours today while supplies last. All our sweatshirts and hoodies are made with 100% relaxed cotton and organic and eco-friendly materials. Visit flypup.shop today. They have Black Friday sales starting right now. Radio and podcast listeners get an extra 20% off the sales price with coupon code JUSTBELIEVE. We look forward to you becoming a part of the Fly Pup family. Follow us on Instagram at FLI_.PEP. That website again is www.flipep.shop. Are you interested in receiving free makeup? Then I have an offer for you. By joining the Makeup Testers Beta Group with Mia Lockhart, you will receive a box of free makeup. In return for the free products, Mia Lockhart would like you to share your feedback on the products you received via a survey. This is a short 5-question survey. To participate, visit www.workwithmialockhart.com. You can also follow me on an Instagram at MIAMISSDRIA. This offer for the free makeup will only last until December 30th, 2022. So hurry to join the Makeup Testers Beta Group with Mia Lockhart. That website again is www.workwithmialockhart.com. If you would like to make a statement with your clothes or like graphic hoodies, Beyond the Clout is the shop for you. As a small Black-owned business, it is their goal to spread a message of freedom of expression. Their mission is to make clothes that express a non-conforming attitude towards society. Their designs are their way of making it easy to be visible while also saying, we're Beyond the Clout. Be bold. Speak through your clothing. Visit beyondtheclout.com. Save 10% when you sign up for text alerts. That website again is beyondtheclout.com.
So I love what you said about the mind follows the body. And I'm thinking that is not a good thing, because let's say that someone has trauma in the past, they're going to be bringing that trauma with them right now. And if they're going to feel it in their body, they're going to have maybe diseases or something in the body. So do you teach your students how to release it? Or what is the end result of, the mind following the body?
Well, the thing is that we're all very proficient because of intergenerational trauma at suppressing trauma and being oblivious. And a lot of time, depending on when trauma occurs, it can affect how much we remember. Like a lot of my trauma was pre-verbal, right? So it took me a lot to be able to recover that. But what I mean when I say your mind follows you is I'm talking about our habits of mind. And of course, trauma informs our habits of mind, right? Mm-hmm. We can be very distrustful of people. And so it's not that the mental suffering follows us all the time. We're very good at compartmentalizing our experience and carrying on as if that never happened. Mm-hmm. However, what doesn't change is the habits that we've formed out of it, like distrust of others or intimacy issues or the unwillingness to commit or whatever it is. There's so many variations on the theme of how we can show up. So the training, isn't it about releasing it? Because, I mean, there is work to be done to release and discover trauma. But our work has to do with understanding that there's emotional content around that, and that that emotional content has wisdom in it.
Okay.
Real wisdom. And it, you know, for example, like anger, people don't want to feel angry, right? But anger has a real purpose. It's, for one thing, it's how we set boundaries, how we know how to say no when we need to say no. It's also how we can learn what we don't want in life, and being very clear about, you know, it sharpens the mind, right? Or even jealousy, which is usually coming out of a comparative thing where we're comparing ourselves.
Comparing ourselves to others and be jealous, right?
Right. Jealous or envious, they have and I don't have. But that aspect of the mind that compares is also how we figure out how to do things better in life, because we compare experience. So we need to learn about the mind and its capacities, and then turn our allegiance to the sanity that's always there. And the sanity occurs when we synchronize our body, speech, and mind in the present moment. So,
All right. So I have an interesting question here. So one, I kind of rescinded my opinion of anger, because I've heard this before, that anger is a moving energy. And when you have anger, it allows you to move. You know, if you don't have anger, then you're going to stay like a lump of lead. I was actually listening to Sadhguru this morning, and he was talking about, he didn't say anger, but he was talking that the emotions can be a detonator. And if you don't have these emotions, you'll be like a lump of soil, because you're just going to sit there and not do anything. But when you have emotions, the emotion is the detonator for the bomb. You know what I mean? So basically, and he was saying the same thing as you, that emotion has wisdom, right? So, but you know, we're talking about anger, we're talking about jealousy, and all these things that they're saying that are bottom feeder emotions, and they're emotions that you shouldn't have. You should try to get to the top ones, or compassion and peace and harmony and whatever. But I like what you're saying, that if you pay attention to what makes you angry, or you pay attention to why you're jealous, then you're able to understand yourself. Is that? And one of the questions I have here for you is,
you understand? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Pardon me.
You know, one of the questions I have here for you is how you can befriend yourself. Is that how you befriend yourself, by understanding how your mind is working?
Yes. Starting to understand, first of all, everybody has these emotions. They're very human, and they come up in very human circumstances. And one of the things about befriending ourselves is seeing that others have them. So we need environments where people tell the truth about their emotions, right? And because they're going on all the time, a lot of times we're just denying them by saying, I'm fine, right? But that's not true. And so we need safe spaces or safe people in our lives where we can descend into what's true, because it's important to tell the truth about what we're feeling, even when it's ugly, right? And we don't want that. But part of befriending it is learning to listen to ourselves, and to be just kind of understand that energy by nature is dynamic. Emotional energy is dynamic, but it's always moving, unless you suppress it and dam it up, or you act it out, and then you're adding more fuel to the fire. If you're acting it out and getting high off being pissed off all the time, which we know people like that, right? That's not doing anything except creating a mental habit of being angry all the time, giving oneself permission. So it's much more about feeling the energy in a way, putting it in a container of loving kindness and saying, be my teacher. So for example, when I get an upsetting email or something that really knocks me off my horse, so to speak, you know, it happens, right? News.
Right.
Sometimes I learned from Temple Grandin. I don't know if you know who she is. She was an autistic teacher, and she teaches at the University of the Colorado State University, and she's a autistic. And she learned that she needed to wrap herself in a blanket to calm her nervous system down. And she implemented that with animals and cows in particular before they're killed. She's an amazing being. But through her, I learned, oh yeah, staying with those hard to stay with, I wrap myself in a blanket when I'm really upset and I just stay with it. And I have enough training not to listen to all my thoughts, not to follow every thought, and okay. not to believe everything I think, because we can't think our way out of strong emotions. We have to feel our way through them. And when we truly start to feel them, they move, because that's their nature. And they also, if we're lucky, shed insight, you know, some kind of insight, usually, you know, real responsible insight. You know, it just depends on what it is. Like, for example, if I'm feeling jealous because one of my friends got some kind of something that I wanted, a big promotion or something like that, wrapping myself in the blanket, I can come to a real feeling like, you know what, that friendship is much more important than any of these titles or anything like that, right? Okay. So we have to come close to ourselves about how we're feeling and attend to ourselves with loving kindness, which is a training. Attending to ourselves in the middle of the night with loving kindness when we have no resources, right? We're at usually in the middle of the night, we wake up and we're the least resourced you can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. But I like the wrapping in a blanket thing. I've never ever tried that. You know, I rarely get angry, but when I do, I work very hard to get out of it. Because, you know, it's not an emotion that I welcome.
Right. Yeah. <But maybe. laughs> It's very edgy. And that's different, like all kinds of emotions. Like there's so many, there's hot anger and cold anger and, you know, ghosting anger. There's passive aggressive anger. Anger comes in many, many flavors. And so we can become almost nuanced awareness of it. Like I know when I'm getting angry, because I feel this little prickle in the back of my neck, and then I start to feel these horns coming up, and then I can feel it's totally visceral for me at this point, because I'm just watching it because I'm very familiar with it. Right.
Right. Well, like I said, I don't get angry very often because you see my personality, right? I'm bubbly, but I have found that yes, if I'm really angry, I feel it coming up like a pipe coming from the inside of me.
And you know, these days,
I do know it, right?
Mm-hmm. And these days, there's a lot to feel angry about if you're in any way connected to headlines or anything like that. It's almost like they're written to provoke you, right?
So, well, headlines don't provoke me, is interpersonal relationships. Right. So that's amazing. All right. So, let's talk about Buddhism for a minute. So, you know, I'm a Christian, and what I've heard about Buddhism is from Buddhist himself and his teachings about suffering and his teachings about the mind and his teachings about, you know, and even like Sadhguru. I follow Sadhguru. I follow Deepak Chopra and all these, you know, these Indian gurus that talk about the difference between, you know, Buddhism and Christianity. So first of all, talk to us about Buddhism and how is it different from, well, we don't need to go into differences, but the Buddhism that you teach, what are some of the foundational principles? And then we want to talk about this tantric Buddhism, because to me, when I hear the word tantric, I'm thinking sexual energy. So
right, exactly. It's been co-opted in America for sure. Okay. And everywhere. Buddhism really, Buddha himself was not a Buddhist. Okay. And it's what I love about Buddhism is, and I've had many people of other faith in my trainings, because Buddhism is kind of a philosophy or an understanding of the mind and the development of the heart. to be beneficial to others. And of course, all religions have their version of that. And but Buddhism offers a very distinct path of meditation where you learned not everybody can meditate. So, I mean, I'm recently really reevaluating because it's so Buddhism, like everything else, has been colonized in America and whitewashed. So I want an individualized, and I'm thinking much more now, like, really what we're talking about is learning how to, meditation is the tool to teach us how to synchronize our body, our speech, and our, which is our breath, that which exchanges with the world, and our mind in the present moment. And that is how we evoke sanity. So and many people come to my trainings, and I'm very specific that I'm not offering a spiritual path because it's I'm condensing down the teachings of the Buddha and a very ancient recipe of how to develop a potent heart, a compassionate heart. That's an ancient recipe into Western psychological process. And so, and then also how to bring that present to others, like as a listening presence or as a compassionate friend, we say. And so these kind of trainings don't have anything to do with Buddhism, really. I mean, except that we draw on the wisdom of Buddhism, but one doesn't need to be a Buddhist. So tantric Buddhism, because just like there are so many different variations of Christianity, tantric Buddhism is the Tibetan form, the Tibetan Buddhist form of Buddhism. Okay. So it was initiated by a very wild character named Padmasambhava, who went to Tibet, and he's brought Buddhism to Tibet in the 8th century, and he was bringing Tantra, which is basically Tantra teachings come from Hinduism and the Vedic tradition before Buddhism. It kind of married with Buddhism, right? All these traditions marry. But Buddhism, tantric Buddhism, simply means using anything in the world to wake up, including things that you wouldn't consider spiritual, like sexuality or...
I know there was a connection with that word.
But sexuality is kind of where it's been taken, especially in North America in the hippie days. Everybody was doing tantras. And one should be very careful if someone says, I'm going to teach you tantric Buddhism, run. Because it's a very specific lineage that needs to be built on the foundation of all the other Buddhism, the classical Buddhism of no harm, no, you know, and really I have to say, you know, I've been 40 years a member of a tradition where there was a recent Me Too incident. And, you know, it's just been utilized by teachers are human, right? And we know that there's just as much scandal in Buddhism as there is in the Catholic Church, right? It's everywhere. Humans are humans.
I haven't heard that one, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we have to be careful with this word tantric Buddhism. It just simply means using anything to wake up, anything to wake up, like one's habits or addictions or that, you can wake up through that, right? You can become a kind and compassionate person. So it's about a path of transmutation is a way to put it.
I like that one. Right. Okay, so that's awesome. All right. So you wrote your book and you call it The Diamond Within Us. And our conversation has been talking about, you know, understanding your mind, body, and looking inside. You mentioned that we're all gems, right? So tell us about what do you mean by the diamond within us, and you know, why you wrote the book, and what do you want people to walk away with after reading the book?
Well, we have a practice in Karuna training called Shining the Jewel, which is where we bear witness to others' skills and holding others in compassionate exchange. And we give, first, we learn how to see everyone as having strengths, real strengths, genuine strengths, authentic strengths, and how to call those out. They may not be your strengths and they wouldn't be how you would do it, but how do you see through the eyes of people's what they bring, which is different than you, right? So we learn how to cultivate that out. And we also learn how to tell the truth when we're seeing behaviors, and it's a kind of feedback training. And that's hard to do because, you know, giving really genuine, honest, cultivating feedback, there's an art in that, right? And we practice that in Karuna and it takes a kind of intensity and intensification. So do diamonds. Diamonds take a lot of intensification and heat to be formed, right? They have to arise out of the muck and slime. Just like lotuses, the classic tradition is lotuses grow in the muck and slime, but they're pure and white on the outside. It's the same principle that we have. And I really do truly believe, because I have worked with all walks of life and even people suffering with very chronic mental conditions, such as schizophrenia and some of these very difficult mental states. People are always, if you can find the moment to make a connection, which isn't always easy, but you can train yourself to presence others' brilliant sanity just through our kindness and interaction. I know you know something about this because you interview people all the time and you, your job is to bring out the best of others. And it's something like that. And listen deeply. Everyone needs to be heard. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs witness of their life and their suffering. And particularly, so we train in how to do that. And that's, the book is kind of taking you, it's a very personal memoir. It's how these teachings mapped onto my life and what I learned. And I use myself as an example very openly in the book, just because I've learned that transparency is useful, not because I'm unique or anything. It's much more that anyone can do it. And I was a far cry, because when I arrived in Boulder, Colorado, I had a pretty serious eating disorder and I was not thinking straight. Let's put it that way. I was very young and going through those cartwheels. And really I found true empowerment through contemplative psychology. And in particular, I've seen it affect so many people's lives. Yeah. So the book is really an offering of the teaching that I've done. It doesn't follow the curriculum of Karuna, but it's also used as a kind of textbook in Karuna training. But it's also just an offering because a lot of people don't know what contemplative psychology is. And I hope that they will, because I feel like what I'm teaching should be taught in kindergarten, honestly. I feel like we have an operating system of our body, speech, and mind, and we don't know how to use it.
I love that. All right. So what do you want people, you know, readers to walk away with after they've, you know, gone through your book?
Well, I hope that my book instills the importance of loving kindness, like that it can be cultivated towards ourselves and towards others, that making friends with ourselves is the most, as we are, exactly as we are, with all of our warts and our problems and our, you know, unacceptable, whatever it is that we don't like about ourselves, that actually that's what makes us unique, and that we can find a path to befriending ourselves. Everyone can do that. Sometimes they need the right conditions and the right people around them to help them.
Well, that's good. You know, that's another way of saying self-love, but, you know, people might think that, why do we need to teach self-love? But you're right. A lot of people don't love themselves. You know, they look in the mirror and they don't like what they see, or somebody has told them that they don't like who they are, and they walk around with self-esteem issues and self-worth issues and being not good enough. You know, in this space, that you see that all the time. And it's more than 50%. It's a high number of people that walk around, especially women, So I understand, you know, what you're, you know, what you're saying. And I like the concept of the body speech. I've never heard it of its speech so much, but the, you know, the mind, body, spirit is how Christianity puts it. But, right. you know, integrating that with the speech, you know, one of the things in Christianity that is in the Bible, it's in Proverbs, and it says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you're speaking, you've got to come into congruency with the body, you know what I mean? And you're saying, speak the Absolutely. Truth, speak your emotions, but you know, right. You know, if you say something, don't squash it down and say you didn't mean it, because you do.
Right. And then we have to find ways to say something. As we know, there, you know, we do, a lot of things don't go anywhere if we just splat out, you know, this whole notion of speech and how we communicate and how we learn how to own our emotions without just throwing them on other people, saying just you're making not me.
Vomiting them up, huh? We've got to have a,
it's much
you have
more
to have a strategy.
Well, it's much more like a practice of like okay. just owning what we're feeling and being able to notice what we're feeling. Some people come into Karuna and some people feel everything in the world, anything. If someone's feeling it in the room, they feel it and they feel like it's their fault.
Well, are those empaths, the people that feel
yeah,
everything?
Yeah, total empaths, they feel right. everything, right? Right. And other people come around and you say, feeling? What feeling? I don't have any feelings. There's no body here, you know, so we're on a continuum, right? So we all have to, and I think Karuna offers this opportunity to work everyone to kind of see where they are on that continuum and take responsibility and befriend themselves as they are, because every style has attributes and challenges. And yeah. so, you know, it's just more like becoming nuanced and understanding energy, emotional energy, and it's, it's fruit.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, so where can our listeners pick up a copy of your book? Tell us about your website. I'm assuming that you offer the Karuna classes on your website or courses, right?
We have some, we don't offer our courses through the website, but we advertise, and if they come to our website, karunatraining.com, you can sign up for our mailing list and then you'll get our newsletters. And we don't send that many newsletters, only 2 a month, because I don't like companies that bombard me with newsletters.
Actually, that's a good number.
Yeah.
I hate people that send me 2-3 emails a day. It's ridiculous.
Right, they're gone. They get discontinued. But we're just about to launch information about a new cohort, because we do our bigger trainings, our certificates in cohorts. So we'll probably start one in the spring. I'm just getting ready to publish that and putting it all together. And then we have other courses. Every month we have a Karuna Live where people can come on live time and we do a little meditation. There's usually a topic and a talk that goes along with our newsletter. And then we do an experiential exercise so people can get a taste of the work.
And how do you spell Karuna? I want to make sure.
K-A-R-U-N-A. It's
all right. So it just as it sounds.
Yeah, it means in Sanskrit, it means compassion.
Okay. All right.
Feel compassion training.
All right. Yeah. And of course, your book is on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, and I also made the effort of reading it on Audible. So it's
very
also
nice.
Available. Yeah, that was a skill I didn't have before, but and that was, you know.
A lot of people listen to books, including me, you know. Yeah. So being on Audible is a nice touch. Awesome. All right. Well, listen, Melissa, this was a very interesting interview. Thank you for bringing our awareness and our attention to, you know, a new phrase for me, the mind follows the body. And we, you know, we know that because, you know, your mind is with you all the time, but we never actually, you know, bring the awareness, because awareness and consciousness, you know, is important, because yes, we're never really present. And there's so many people that talk about present, the present moment, and how the mind, you know, the present is a present. And so thank you for, you know, bringing our awareness and our attention to, you know, contemplative psychology and
Thank you.
Racism and all that, and a new word, Karuna.
The slogan my teacher used to say is wherever you go, there you are. So there's your mom. So
yeah,
thank you
that's
so
right.
much for your work. Thank you so much for your work. It's such a skill to be able to pull people's and shine light on people's work. Thank you so much for what you do.
Well, you're very welcome. Yes, I do it for you and I do it for my listening audience so that they can learn how to transform their mind so that they can transform their lives. So listen, guys. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope that you walked away with a few aha moments from Melissa's conversation. Especially when it comes to understanding yourself and befriending yourself and understanding that, yeah, your mind follows you wherever you go. I mean, it's something that shouldn't need explaining, but, you know, it starts with consciousness and it starts with awareness and it starts with clarity. And hey, you know, her book, The Diamonds Within Us, you know, we're all diamonds. We're all diamonds, you know, and even the pressure that we have and all the mud and guck that goes on in our lives, basically, what is it doing? Creating precious stones, creating a diamond, because in order for you to be a diamond, you have to have some pressure, right, Melissa?
That's right.
Okay. Yes. So, all right. Well, listen, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Melissa, for this very informative interview and a clarification on expanding our mind. So thank you guys for tuning in. If you're listening to this on iTunes, would appreciate that you give us a rating and a review so that we can bring you more, quality guests like Melissa on the show, because it gives us a wider audience. So thanks for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. Until next time, namaste.